How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. And aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of another school shooting and more children dying? And if you were a parent today, how'd you feel dropping your kids off? If you're a grandparent, how do you feel having kids in school these days? And so 844-967-2789. I mean, Jane, at this point, how many of these have we had that we've talked? How many times have we talked about this in the show in less than a year of this show being on air?
I can't even keep track. Isn't that horrible?
And yeah, and it's, you know, the news broke while we were still on air yesterday, and I couldn't. I was like, we'll deal with it tomorrow. Because we knew, you know, you can't not talk about it. But in being in the business of trying to have something smart to say about the happenings in our community and our state and our country, is there ever anything new to say about this when it happens? And it's, aren't you just tired? And how do some, I know some activists, you continue to be fired up and angry, but it's hard to not start to feel complacent because it just happens so often and so little is done to fix it.
844-967-2789. We have Charles from Green Bay on the phone. What do you want to say, Charles?
130 mass shootings in the United States since January 1st. 500 and some people injured and almost 200 of them, almost 200 people killed. When yeah. is the Republican Party going to do what they didn't do during the Bush administration, which is renew the assault rifle ban, which I believe was signed by Clinton? And the fact of the matter is, if everybody can have all these mass shooting guns, for example, you know, an AR-15 and whatever other guns that can shoot bullets at a gazillion, you know, bullets a minute, then I guess everybody in the United States should be able to, you know, because of the Second Amendment, we should all be able to own our own private nuclear weapon. What's the difference?
Well, if
you've got a mass shooting weapon, you've got a mass shooting weapon, and you've got a nuclear weapon. They do the same damn thing. I'm sorry, but this is got me riled up. Because if the Republican Party doesn't want to take ownership in this, then they're a bunch of hypocrites and liars. And that's all I need to say. And you guys take it from there.
Thanks, Charles, for the call. And, you know, and I was reminded this morning, as far as politics go, that they voted on more mental health in schools last year, last fall, and only one Republican voted yes.
I have a little sound clip regarding that. This is from Jess Piepermo.
We all know what happened in Nashville, Tennessee today. And before you let even one Republican tell you that this is a mental health issue, remember this. A few weeks ago, Congress voted on creating more school-based mental health services. One Republican voted yes, and 205 voted no against school-based mental health services. This is America.
Because, of course, that becomes one of the talking points today, in that
it's mental health.
It's the crazy people. that need, you know, we need to help them. It's not the guns, despite the fact that America does not have a corner on the market of mental health issues.
No.
In the country, in the world, and yet we are. This is American exceptionalism. We are the only country this happens as much as it happens. And I don't know if I have a more interesting way to talk about it every time it happens. And yet you can't not talk about it. And so all we can do, at least for this first hour and maybe throughout the show, is let you talk about it. And how are you feeling this morning? And, you know, it's not in our backyard, but it could be.
Oh, absolutely.
It very much could be.
Absolutely.
So 844-967-2789. You know, if you're a parent, how are you feeling today? Even if you're not a parent, I'm not a parent yet. And I got a message last night, and I won't say who it's from, but it's from a listener and who's a parent. And they're a parent in Waukesha, and as we've been talking about, you know, the other things that are being restricted in the name of child safety right now. And the big story this week out of Waukesha is Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton's Rainbow Land. And before that, it was, you know, pronouns. I know yet last week, and so, you know, there's drag queen stuff and there's all this other stuff that's supposed to be for the sake of the children.
Harming our kids.
And then none of which is killing children. But then this happens and there's no movement. But I got this message last night, and I mean, he made it personal for me because it's true. But he said, last night, my wife and I spent about 45 minutes with our girls explaining to them why Rainbow Land is a thing, going through what LGBTQ means, what the district is doing to discriminate against them, why we have to speak up. Tonight, we'll have to tell them why 9-year-olds are getting shot at school and somehow lie to them that it couldn't happen at their school to make them feel comfortable. I know you've mentioned wanting kids on your show. It is the biggest joy in life and my greatest worry. And I do, you know, like I do want kids, and it's hard to hear these stories and just think about what parents are feeling when I think I looked up earlier today as I was prepping for today's show, and Wisconsin, we're basically like middle of the road when it comes to where we are with where we're ranked out of 50 states for gun law strength.
Okay.
So we're certainly not the worst, but we're not the best. And you know, it's hard not to think about what if, because it also feels so random, because it is so random. I mean, from the little that we know, as things keep developing, and I don't want to spend time on who the shooter, who the suspect is that was killed, the conversation that's going to happen around their gender identity and everything there, and the manifesto and stuff like that, because there's still a pattern, and the pattern is guns, and the pattern is AR-15s, and that it's happening at schools. And, you know, from what I heard, the doors were locked, but a gun can get through a lock. And
they were glass doors.
They're glass doors. And so I just keep thinking about the viral interview from Jon Stewart and that state legislator about how it's their responsibility to protect children, which is why they're banning drag shows, but it's not their responsibility to protect children if it infringes on the Second Amendment.
And as Jon Stewart said in that piece, which I highly recommend that you check out, it's on Apple TV Plus, if more guns made us safer, we would be the safest country in the world. Because we have more guns than anyone else. And we all know that is not the case. More guns does not seem to be making us safer.
I mean, I guess that's a good question. Do you feel safe in the current environment, whether it's, you know, people talk about, you know, there's the stereotype of people saying they would never go to Milwaukee or downtown, you know, go to Milwaukee because they feel like it's so unsafe. And so much of that is the news. You know, I live in Milwaukee. I do not feel like I'm going to get targeted or shot. I could, though, right? Like, that could happen. And if you could, your kids at your suburban school could also get shot, because in general, whether it's street violence or random shootings by a lone gunman, we have a gun problem of how easily they're accessible, how quickly you can get them. And even when the people who are not legally allowed to have them, there's so many of them that how do you even track them? And it's just exhausting. And I don't know how, you know, Charles, who just called in, was really fired up. Like, I think this morning, at least for me, like, I'm just sad and tired and struggling to find the words, versus I think some people who were really fired up. Like the woman, if we want to play that again, the woman who called, you know, interrupted a Fox News report on the ground, and she was fired up.
This is Ashby Beasley.
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover mass shootings? I'm from Highland Park, family vacation with my son, visiting my sister-in-law. I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars. Assault weapons are contributing to the border crisis and fentanyl. We are arming cartels with our guns and our loose gun laws. And these shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation.
Which is true.
Yeah, when we come back from the break, I have a lawmaker from Tennessee and his response to yesterday's shooting.
With your tone, I'm guessing it's not going to be good.
You'll have to stick around and find out.
Well, you'll have to stick around. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're talking about yesterday's shooting and how you're feeling. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are asking you how you feel this morning after another mass shooting yesterday. And if you're more tired than exhausted over the same story that we feel like we hear the 130 plus times this has happened this year, or if you're fired up, or how you adjust and handle this news. And maybe you're just numb to it. And you just ignore it because until it affects you, it doesn't.
844-967-2789. You can call or you can text at that same number. Texter from the 414 says there's an excellent Washington Post story about what AR-15s, who in the U.S. owns AR-15s and why they own them, which reminds me of an incredible story the Washington Post also just posted, and they posted it yesterday morning before this shooting happened in Nashville.
Wait, they posted it before the shooting even happened?
Yes.
Because you sent it to me yesterday, and I was like, what timing that they had this all ready to go?
No, I think it went up about 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday. So they had been working on this.
Wow.
And it's a really brutal and really necessary piece called The Blast Effect, which actually shows with 3D animations how bullets from an AR-15 basically just blast your body apart.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. I'm scrolling through it right now, and it is, and it's also the thing that we talk about and we've mentioned before and other times where we've had to talk about this and address a different shooting is that, you know, we talk about the deaths versus the injuries and the people who survive, but the people who survive these kinds of gunshots aren't, it's not like they just walk away.
No.
And how much damage it creates for them and potential like lifelong disabilities, even if they survive
right.
to tell about, like to live another day, right?
Yeah, survival is not thriving.
And so is there other parts? I wasn't able to look through the entire, flipped through and saw the 3D animations, but were you able to read the article?
I was. And before we do that, though, I want to play this clip from, this is Tennessee Republican Representative Tim Burchett, who was questioned on the steps of their state capitol yesterday after the shooting at an elementary school in Nashville.
Three precious little kids lost their lives, and I believe three adults, I believe it's, and the shooter, of course, lost their life too. So it's a horrible, horrible situation, and we're not going to fix it. Criminals are going to be criminals, and my daddy fought in the Second World War, fought in the Pacific, fought the Japanese, and he told me, he said, buddy, he said, if somebody wants to take you out and doesn't mind losing their life, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do about it.
844-967-2789. That makes me so angry. We're not going to fix it. It just is what it is. And we're just going to have to deal with it because that's freedom. That's the freedom in our country. And by the way, this representative, he homeschools his kids.
Did he say why?
No, but it just worked out best for them. Although he understands that, you know, many people can't do that.
Can't actually do that. And trying to imagine the reaction. I mean, but that is, at least he said the quiet part out loud, right?
That we're not going to fix it?
We're not going to fix it. And because I feel like this is something that people can run on. This is something that people get money from lobbyists for. This is something that, you know, this poll. In 56%, they did this poll, I think, after Uvalde, which we're coming up on a year. What was that, a year in May?
That sounds right.
So one poll found that a majority of Americans, including 56% of gun owners, said it's more important to curb gun violence than to protect gun rights. Now, if that's, you know, the polling, you know, is accurate there, again, like, I feel like, and this, it's interesting because they've done this same poll. They have the data here from 2014. And at that point, protecting gun rights in 2014 was 48%, and it's dropped to 35%.
Wow.
So maybe there is movement. Maybe there is just like the fervent gun rights people who are just very loud, but there's fewer and fewer of them as it becomes more and more untenable for us to keep living like this. And I think something that we often separate, because this always, whenever this, the details that we've heard so often that replicate yesterday's, when it's a school, when it's young children, when it's people who really had nothing to do with the grievances that the person who went in there had, and it feels random. But there's also so much gun violence that is also connected to guns. And we separate that for some reason. Like, both Democrats, when they're talking about gun control, somehow don't talk about guns on the streets and gun violence in across the country. And yet, you know, Republicans love to talk about crime, but don't ever connect it to guns.
We have Jack from Merrimack on the line. Jack, we got about a minute. What do you want to say?
Well, you hear these gun advocates say that guns don't kill people. People kill people. Of course, guns don't kill anyone by themselves. People with guns kill people. There's a solution, and while it won't cure all the problems, it'll help. First, we can reauthorize the 1994 and 2004 assault weapons ban. The statistics are really clear. Here's a quote from the analysis.
Jack,
we calculated the risk of a person. Yes?
I'm going to have to put you on hold. We got about 20 seconds left. Hang on the line. Don't go away.
Okay.
844.
We'll get you when you come back, Jack. All right, we'll be right back. Oh.
Weapons ban was active. So that's something that we know works. And something else that we know works, in 1996, there was a mass shooting in Port Arthur, Australia, that killed 35 people. After that, the Australian Parliament actually did something. They instituted both an assault weapons ban and a buyback that bought back literally hundreds of thousands of these weapons. Arguably, there hasn't been a mass shooting in Australia since, and certainly not one that killed that many. Some people will always have these weapons, whether they're illegal or not. And of course, some people will be crazy enough to use them to kill people. Unfortunately, there always probably will be such people. But if our legislators actually have some courage and they do something about these horrible deaths and incidents, we can cut down the number. That's what I wanted to say.
Thanks so much, Jack. But it's about the money. Our politicians get millions and millions and millions of dollars from the NRA and other gun lobbying groups. And I don't know how we get that money out of politics. I don't know how we get dark money out of politics so that our politicians only do the things that their donors want.
Donors or owners?
Good point.
Yeah, seriously.
Good point. Thanks a lot, Jack. 844-967-2789. How are you feeling about yesterday's mass shooting? Texter from the 414 talking about Republican Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee saying that, yeah, we're not going to fix this. Texter wants to know, isn't that the same congressman that sent out a Christmas card to his district with his entire family holding assault weapons in the picture? Not a real
good... Was it?
Yeah. No, it was not him, but it was... There are numerous lawmakers, if you want to just Google some images, who sent out Christmas cards with everyone armed. Not a real good role model. The only way to change the culture is to change the people holding our country hostage to the gun-thirsty lobby.
Well, and it does feel like that, doesn't it? When you see the decreasing numbers of people who say we should put gun rights over public safety, the increasing numbers of people saying, even gun people who are gun owners saying, this is ridiculous. And it got me thinking this morning, you know, when we think about other countries, like I've mentioned the show Dairy Girls before, and it's this show that is very funny. And it's set in the backdrop of the troubled times and in Northern Ireland. And, you know, I think you think about what Ireland went through for those 30 years when there was just random bombings and bridges that would go out and people just kept living their lives day in, day out. When you think about so many of the South American countries that are dealing with the unbelievable violence and chaos of drug cartels. And yet some people just keep living their lives. And the Ukraine war. I mean, for as many people who have left Ukraine, there's a lot of people still just living their lives in Ukraine. And I think about this because it's the same way that people abroad think about us. It's like, oh, you live in that country where randomly people just get shot by their own citizens regularly. And for most of us, except when you are someone who is actually, you know, you lose someone in one of these many mass shootings, if you have empathy, you have a day, a couple days, maybe a couple weeks of how any of these shootings affect you or how long you let it affect you, because you don't necessarily know those people, but you have enough empathy to feel like this is terrible. But then you keep living your life. And does it make any of us move? I think for some people, there's probably some people who, and I've had friends say, like I have a friend who's a married couple and one's British, and they now that they have two kids, she's like, I don't know if I want to raise my kids here anymore. And they have the luxury, I don't know if that's the right word I want to use, but the option,
right,
to move back to England because she's British, which is not an option for everyone, right? Like you can't just move to, as much as Norway and Finland are constantly on the top of like happiness scales. And I sometimes every once in a while look and be like, well, what it would take to actually like get citizenship there? Not easy. and not, you know, so it's not in the same way when people want to come to this country, it's not an easy process just to get up and move. And so we are being held hostage for those of us who vote for the people who run on better gun control, who go to gun rights, like gun control rallies and sign petitions and get upset about this every time that it happens. And, you know, the best we can do is the legislation that was introduced last year, which I don't know if it's been around long enough for us to really know if there's been any
effects,
you know, effects or anything that's mattered and made a difference. And it just comes back to what I said at the beginning. For me, it's exhausting. And you just, what other, you know, it's hard not to feel like, what other option do we have than to talk about it when it happens and say how awful it is and how much we are frustrated that we are held hostage in this country by politicians who are not going to actually do anything because they're bought off by the gun lobbyists and the gun companies, who they're making way too much money to ever support a gun, an AR ban again, because
they're getting rich.
Too many people just want them. They're getting rich off this. Why would we ever prioritize public health over profit in this country?
844-967-2789. How are you feeling today? What are you feeling after yesterday's school shooting in Nashville? There is a comic that I follow on Twitter. His name is Corey Forrester. He is a brand new father. He's been a dad for just over a week. He lives down south. I believe he lives in Tennessee, and we're hoping that he's going to be able to join us tomorrow on the show in the first hour.
Oh, wow, great.
This is what he had to say about yesterday's shooting.
You know, I was told that when I had a kid, by everyone where I live, I was told this. When you have a kid, man, you'll get more conservative. I promise you that. Well, on day 9 of being a father, I wake up to the news that just up the road in Nashville, there was a school shooting. With that information and knowing which side of the aisle doesn't give a fuck about it, will not even speak of any type of legislation that would halfway prevent this. Matter of fact, as soon as they hear it, their first thing, right before they do the thoughts and prayers, that second, right before they do the thoughts and prayers, is to mention how important the Second Amendment is. Before thoughts and prayers, before. I'm supposed to look at all that and go, yeah, that's the f***ing side that I want to be on now that I have a child. No, no. If anything, I'm more far left today than I've ever been. And I apologize if I give way more of a f- about school shootings than I do a drag show at a library. And every single one of you who feels the complete opposite, I'm sorry, but you're a f-. I'm not saying that every conservative on earth is scum. I'm talking about the specific ones that look at a school shooting and then still later on that day want to act like cross-dressing is some huge issue when you won't say a f-ing word about a kid with a gun, because that goes against your narrative that they help us out. No, I think as a father, I know exactly where the f- I stand, and this is pathetic. So, love to everybody in Nashville.
Corey Forrester, who's a comedian and is going to be joining us tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. So,
did you just reach out to him?
I did.
Did you just DM him?
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'd had a couple of glasses of wine and I was crying and I saw his message and I thought, I'm going to send him a message and see if he can talk to us.
Good for you, well, Jane.
I mean, I've been following him a really long time. He's and a couple other comics that I follow on Twitter. And yeah, I just reached out and he said, absolutely. So, and again, he's
it's really interesting. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just that he lives down south. He knows that kind of culture. And I think it will be interesting to get his perspective on what it's like after something like this happens yet again.
There's another, I also think Trey Crowder, who's another comedian that's really funny. I think he's also Tennessee.
He works with Corey.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yep.
And so, I mean, similar politics, similar like slant to when they choose to talk about these things. And I think it's true. I mean, I think it's the same, you know, Wisconsin gun culture is hunting, right? And so there are a lot of people here who I think, but so often when I hear the conversations around gun owners and hunters in Wisconsin, so much of it comes back to the responsibility that if you are from a family of hunters, that is instilled on you.
Yes.
Of how you handle your gun.
Yes.
And that is what we're talking about. We're not talking about taking guns away. We're not talking about responsible gun ownership. We're talking about waiting periods. Not that you can't have a gun, but maybe you can't have a gun within the hour of wanting a gun. You know, we're talking about registration and background checks and things that, you know, and I remember recently we had, you know, for the background checks that we do have in Wisconsin, which it doesn't extend to private gun sellers, but does in
gun stores.
Gun stores and stuff like that. You know, very few get denied because most people are responsible gun owners. But there have been some, right? And that's what it's there for. It's not to ban everybody or to have arbitrary, well, I don't like you, so you can't have one. It's to be used sparingly. And that's the kind of things that we want. And I think most people do want. And yet we're still on the brink of potentially every election matters in a swing state like this, where who knows what would have been passed had Tim Michaels won.
Absolutely.
Who knows what could, you know, what could be challenged or not challenged depending on what happens next week, which is, this is your daily reminder that if you can vote early, vote early. Otherwise, make sure you are have a plan to vote next Tuesday. Because, you know, this is the most, I haven't seen a ton of gun legislation come down in Wisconsin this year. We saw, was it last week, that they made the proposal of having a state identifying what the state gun could be, the state rifle. But then this week, I don't know if this would make a difference, but there's basically a new bill saying gun store owners would play a role in suicide prevention.
How?
Under a proposed bill. And, you know, the bill would allow people who sell guns to provide voluntary gun storage for customers or community members who are at risk for suicide. I don't even know what that.
So
it's like,
I'm feeling,
are they not allowed to do that now?
I'm just baffled. So I am considering suicide and now they think that I'm going to bring them my gun to lock it away because I can recognize that I'm a danger to myself. That seems a little.
I don't really know if it's like an opt-in, like the person who owns the gun has to be the one who's handing it over. Or if it's like family. I mean, because that would be that's part of a red flag law, right? As far as if that, like Wisconsin refuses to even touch with a 10-foot pole. But as far as people in your life recognizing you to potentially be a threat versus to maybe to yourself or to others, and then getting legal action to temporarily, maybe permanently, make sure you don't have access to a firearm. But this sounds like it's voluntary as far as what this has been introduced as. I mean, like, and I guess to a certain extent, like at least it's something because suicide rates are above the national average in Wisconsin. I don't know if there's any proof to show that this would make a difference. And But I just don't see any movement here or anywhere when it comes to some like more gun safety. And so again, it has come back to this is the world that we live in. This is the country that we live in.
It doesn't have
and
to
we'll
be.
Just keep it doesn't have
it
to
doesn't
be.
It doesn't have to
but
be
what,
this way.
But how long have we been doing this? And there's no political will to change.
Well, the Republicans, there was a Republican committee in the House this morning. Ted Lieu announced this. He's from California. They were going to have another hearing on making gun braces more readily available. And something else.
What's a gun brace?
So you're not shaky, I assume? So you can be more accurate when you're aiming at people? And the Republicans canceled that hearing today. And Ted Lieu called them a bunch of cowards.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere. We have spent most of this first hour, all of this first hour, trying to decompress our feelings about another shooting and the anger and frustration and how that turns into complacency. Because what else do you do when you just have to, you know, you can't just stop living your life. And, you know, I think it goes back to the frustration of, you know, when we talk about elections and we're going to have another one in a week, that is a very big deal. And you get people motivated to vote. And then to a certain extent, things just stay the same. And it doesn't have to be like this, but it is. And so, as you pointed out, Jane, at the break, you know, when there's enough people in the country who elect people who are, you know, willingly wearing AR-15 lapel pins,
yes,
to Congress to show their support for the Second Amendment and for these machines meant to obliterate your body, and they're applauded by their constituents for that, or at least not held accountable for it. This is the country we live in. And I'm not saying if you don't like it, leave, because as we said, it's not easy just to leave and pick up and find residency in another country.
Right. Or even another state. It takes money.
Yes, it takes money, but it also, you know, so takes a job and, you know, being able to get residency at other places and everything. And so it's not just that, it's not that simple. And so it's getting to the point where it's not a war-torn country. And I don't think, as a country, we don't really know. We've had so few wars on our land, let alone any wars on our land in the last century, over a century. Not that there's not parts of our country where it's been described as like living in a war-torn country, in different neighborhoods, in different like very poverty-stricken areas. But I can't help but think that this is similar to certain places where we look from the outside and look in and go, God, what must it be like to live there? Northern Ireland in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, or, you know, El Salvador and Honduras and places like that where, you know, people are leaving in rows because it's not safe. But to a certain extent, then countries look at us and say, God, I don't know how you live there with all those guns.
10 years ago, my husband and I were overseas. We were in Amsterdam and at one of the museums, and I'm in the museum shop, and the clerk asked me where we were from because my husband has an English accent. And I said, well, we live in the States. And she said, I would never go there. Mm-hmm. That used to be my dream. I used to dream of visiting the United States. I would never go to your country. Now there are too many guns. And that was mm-hmm. a decade ago. Sandy Hook was in 2012. And the fact that we did nothing after that, after 25 and 6-year-olds were slaughtered, is just heartbreaking and infuriating. I'm so mad. I'm so angry.
I guess I just, it's so hard for me because I feel like most gun owners I ever talk to about this subject are very reasonable about it. And I've yet to talk face to face. I've heard the arguments on, you know, social media and comment sections and talking heads on TV shows. But what the what it like what the mindset is to be that fervently pro gun, to just do the mental gymnastics it takes to see these numbers, to see the American exceptionalism of how we are the only country where this happens and justify it and do whatever it takes in your head to be like, well, this makes sense. It's like what we were talking about earlier this week, where is there anything that you believe in so passionately that you could justify violence for? And you and I both basically said no.
No.
And yet there is a portion of the population in this country who so passionately believes in their right to have as many guns as they want, of any variety they want, that they can see this story again and again and again, where the slight details change, but the story is the same, and say, well, cost of doing business.
It's the price of freedom. It's the price of freedom. Speaking of the price of freedom, I'm going to refer back to, again, this Washington Post article that they posted like 6 o'clock yesterday morning before this shooting had even happened. And it takes you through in some animated detail exactly what ammunition from an AR-15 does to the body. And the examples they used were two victims of school shootings. Noah Posner was 6 years old. He died at Sandy Hook. And the other victim, whose body and autopsy they used to come up with these models, was Peter Wang, who died at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in Parkland, Florida. And the parents asked them to use their kids because they want America to see what these weapons do to children, what these weapons do to the human body. These are machines of war.
We just got someone on the Facebook live stream said, as an American living abroad, this is something I get asked about all the time. Europeans do not get it. The rest of the world does not get it. By the way, we live in free countries too. And I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's a handful of people that in my life who, you know, still argue that America is the best country in the world. And it's hard on days like this, with stats like this, with children dying, with the number one cause of death now being guns, which feels so preventable, and say, yes, definitely the best country on earth. All right, well, heavy first hour.
Yep, but we needed to talk about it.
But we needed to talk about
it. And we always wanted to hear from you too. Our wonderful listeners, what you think about stuff like this.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here. We'll talk about next week's election and getting voters to turn out. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.